New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, so the Reds are piling it on the Brewers right now in the second game of that doubleheader. They just hit a two-run homer, and they're up 6-0 over Milwaukee in Milwaukee. And unless I'm crazy, let me pull this up because it's very important. In terms of, I think they won the, they did 6-1 in the first game of the doubleheader they won, and now they're going to sweep them. And then the Pirates swept the Cardinals 4-3 and 2-0 at Busch. I can't even fathom that that happened. The Pirates won 2 in St. Louis. I almost fell over. I mean, I almost fell over. The Dodgers swept the Giants 7-0 and 2-0. Padres won game 1 10-7 over the Mariners. They were down 7-3 in the ninth with two outs, and they tied it and then won it in extras. Or they actually won it right then. They added three more. So 10-7, they beat Seattle. And then Seattle beat them 8-3 in the nightcap. Everything else was postponed. Everything. So that's the end of that. But as far as the Van Wagenen story, again, is that I didn't even know that the Wilpons went on record as just, you know, you heard Dan Strafford there say that they literally, you know, they took no credit for anything Van Wagenen said. They, bottom line is, they denied it. And they also misspelled his name when they released the statement. I still cannot believe that you own the Mets and your general manager torches you in the media and blames you for something you claim you didn't do, and you don't fire him. You know what that tells me? Is that they did tell him to do that. That the Wilpons did tell Van Wagenen to get him back on the field.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So for all on the bench with you, 844 toll free, 844-843-6879 is the number. 844-843-6879. So Mafia, you're telling me that you got an email saying that the league starts October 8th?
Yes, I did get that email, but you know, we'll have to see what comes of that, because of course our gym is a national chain, so they just sent that out to everybody that's ever played, you know, basketball in one of those gyms. But depending on where you are, your local, you know, COVID results or government.
So it was like a national letter from like the head of the basketball division.
Yeah, for everybody throughout the country. So certain states are going to push that, certain are not.
Right. So he's saying, well, we're hoping to start all the fall ball on October 8th at all the gyms. Meanwhile, you know. Yeah. We don't even start on the same day the guy wants us to anyway. So all I know is we've run that thing for, what, 8 years?
Something like that.
You feel like playing again, don't you?
Yeah, as long as they got some kind of, you know, stuff going on. We could actually... Listen, I want to play ball. I miss ball completely. You know, that's the best.
That almost sounded like a no.
I want to, but I'm also hesitant. You know, I don't know. I don't trust every guy that comes up and shows, you know, up at the gyms. You know, some of those guys don't even play dirty. You know, they don't play clean as it is. You get guys that will undercut you, guys with their elbows and things like that. So, you know, for me to trust them to actually take health precautions is even more dangerous than trusting them not to take out my legs on a layup.
So you think that I'm better off playing with the Mawa boys than going back there and playing? Since I'm already in this, like, healthy COVID responsible league that I play in now.
Yeah, if you got guys that you know you can trust and that are taking precautions, then yeah, for sure. But I mean, you're already taking that extra step anyway, playing with you know, pickup ball out in the outdoor court. So it's not like, you know, you're sheltered from people doing whatever they're doing. You're already around those people anyway.
I am already around a lot of people. I'm around tons of people playing in the hood. Tons. But I told you how aggravating that is, because if you lose there, you sit for 45 minutes. You're not getting on that court. And winning two in a row is a miracle. Winning three in a row is unheard of. But where we play, we can win 7-8 in a row, right? And when I play at this place in the mornings, you're lucky you win two in a row. Both teams are so good, it's hard to win one, let alone two. So the games are just war, right? So it's different. Like when we play up at the gym where we play, we go on runs. We can go belly to belly, not lose a game the whole day.
Yeah, especially when, you know, certain people stack their own team so they can win all day.
That's right. But either way, like, you and I aren't afraid to play with anybody and just play. But
no, I just want to get a run.
I like playing with Killer and Money. And Foz, and it's not like we have any size besides me, and I can still win every game with them because they know how to play ball, right? But these guys that I play with now in the hood and in the mornings, they're so good, it's hard to win. It's, you know, you're playing against really good players, and they can light you up just as easily as you can score. And the thing that I found about it is that it's hard to even score, even if you're a scorer, right? Like, we all score. I score a lot, but I, you know, it's a lot harder to get a good shot off when you're playing really good players because they're all over you. And they do everything, man. They do everything to stop you. You name it, they do it. Traps, double teams, switches, You know, it's all, you go in the lane, forget it. You're getting your head taken off. There's no clean layups. And even a breakaway, on a breakaway, these dudes will chase you down and kill you before they'll let you shoot a layup. And then in the hood, are you kidding? I'm surprised I haven't been shot playing where I play, because all it is fighting and arguing all day in the hood, fighting and arguing. Everyone's just arguing and fighting. It's war face to face, nose to nose, people just fighting. So anyway, I think it's crazy. I cannot believe that, you know, here's the weird thing about the whole shutting down sports, right? Again, I feel like we went back in time, Mafia, like to the beginning of the COVID. I feel, because at the beginning of the COVID, when we were on the air, we were doing shows at the Meadowlands on Sports Grid Network on the TV side, right? And we were on the air one day, and it was the beginning of the conference championship week. And we got knocked off the air. The guy said, go home. And, you know, this thing was, they're shutting this place down. Go home. You're not going to be doing it here anymore. And we went home that night. Can you believe that that was like March 13th or something like that? I could be wrong about the date, but I think it was right around then. And then we've been away from there ever since. Right. And then finally on July 23rd and 24th, baseball started. Right. And then on the 30th and the 1st, the NHL and NBA started. Right. So at the end of July, basically the last 8-9 days of July, sports came back. And now we're in basically a month later on the 28th of August tomorrow, right? You will be again, today was the 27th. Didn't this start Wednesday night? This started Wednesday night, right? So Wednesday night, they stopped playing basketball. Thursday, there were no games. Friday, there's going to be no games, allegedly, right? And it feels like to me that we're back at the beginning of the COVID when they said, you remember that they canceled the conference championship week. Then they canceled March Madness. Then they canceled everything. They literally shut down everything in sports at that point. And I feel like we're kind of back there now because, you know, there's no, it's not completely dead. I mean, I just watched the end of the Reds Brewers game. I've had more fun at a dentist chair than watching the Reds and Brewers play, you know, and you can quote me on that. I don't care what team it is. It could be my Pirates. It could be the Yankees. I'm telling you, it's morphine drip watching these guys play baseball. I like standing around watching them play baseball. If I've said this a million times on both shows, if you're on your sofa and you're laying down and you got your head on a pillow and a baseball game is on your TV in front of you, I will bet anyone any amount of money that they're going to fall asleep by the fourth inning. They'll be out cold. Mafia, can you stay awake? If you're on a sofa with a pillow and you're laying down, you're like, I'm going to lay here and watch the Mets. Can you actually tell me that you can watch the whole game?
Bro, forget staying awake for the whole game. I just can't stay locked in for the whole game. Like you get through an inning, maybe two, if you're lucky three, by the time you hit like the middle of the innings, I'm just like,
you're out the door.
What else is there? Like I got to jump to something else, even if it's just for the commercial break. And then all of a sudden you start watching a movie or start watching reruns of something and just forget the baseball game was even on until it's like, oh, wait, yeah, that's back, right.
But don't you
and,
think
you know, you're right about the shutdown thing, because it was actually – the 13th was actually the last day we did a show, you know, live in studio. The 16th is when we were going to work and they're like, all right, it's done. But you know, even a week before that, the 9th, where I think it was the 9th or the 10th. I think it might have been the 10th was the day when the NBA started shutting down when Gobert – got sick and that game was canceled. And all of a sudden, an hour later, when we were done with the show, it was, oh, the whole NBA shutting down. And the next day was the NHL shutting down. The day after that, it was college basketball shutting down. So it was just one after the other that whole week. And it, like you said, it's been, feels like a lifetime ago, but then it feels like we're right back there with all of a sudden just a couple of days of no one's playing.
I feel like I need a shrink because there's no games. Like, no Stanley Cup playoffs, no NBA playoffs. Scott's a dull boy. I mean, honestly, I am just a dull boy. I have no interest. I'm sitting here. I got baseball on, and I barely watch. I watched the Pirates get the last couple outs against the Cardinals in game one of the doubleheader. And I was like, just hurry up already. I just wanted to leave the room. I can't even, I don't know what it is. You tell me. Like, no one can even explain it to me why. It's like morphine watching baseball. It really is. Give me the hockey in the NBA or death.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Brian Urlacher, Hall of Famer Bears, is going through what I would deem having a bad day type thing. He's having a bad day. Anyway, he may not think so. He may be having a good day in his world, but he said the NBA players, quote, boycott the playoffs because a dude reaching for a knife wanted on a felony sex assault warrant was shot by police, end quote. And then the Bears responded in a statement that said, quote, the social media posts in no way reflect the values or opinions of the Chicago Bears organization, end quote. They canceled practice with a statement committing to make a real difference. I don't know if you saw the post. Let me see if I can read it. In the wake of what has taken place in our backyard at Kenosha over the last couple of days, we as a team have a lot on our mind. We decided to pause activities to voice to each other, coaches and staff, where we stand on real issues and race, police brutality. We had a productive discussion, but we all agreed that the talks and discussion was simply not enough. We were putting in plans to take action in our communities, and together we believe we can make a difference. We need action, not only today, but in the days to come. Oh, God.
Make a difference in the community. As long as you're making a change for the better. I love you.
The next day of practice is one more day Mitch Trubisky keeps that job.
Only, 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 only.
Ryan Urlacher. Mafia, what do you think when he said, the cops had it all going, man, that they were just going after a dude that had a knife and was wanted on a felony sex assault warrant. They shot him 7 times in the back with his kids in the car.
Listen, I don't care what side of this you are on, whether you think it was right or justified, whether you don't think it was right. No matter what side you are on, comparing it to Brett Favre playing when his dad died is just ignorant, stupid, and not even equatable whatsoever. I mean, not to say that the loss of your father and you playing through, you know, isn't something that's, you know, scarring, something that, you know, you're hurting. And probably if a lot of people felt like they couldn't play through. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier to Mitch, and you've talked about over the last couple weeks about Montrezl Harrell, about, you know, him feeling that way with his grandmother dying, where he was sitting out all these games because he was, you know, really affected and hurt and mourning over this. So obviously someone dying is a huge thing in someone's life. But to say like, hey, this guy who lost his father and he played anyway, so why can't you play for some guy you didn't know who basically, from what he's, you know, putting out there, should have been shot by the cops, I guess is what he's trying to say, is just stupid.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not sure that's what he was trying to express. I think what he was actually, my guess is what his excuse will be. I'm sure you'll probably hear this in the next day, is that he'll say, I meant that he should, you know, the guy was reaching for a knife and he was wanted on a felony sex assault warrant and they should have arrested him. That's what he'll say. He'll say, I don't want anybody to be killed, shot,
that's
killed,
what I'll say. That's not what his tweet
paralyzed.
Said.
But that's not what his tweet said. So you can interpret it any way you want. I still think he's having a bad day. Current and former black
shots to the head, apparently.
MLB players from the Players Alliance announced that they're going to donate their salaries on Jackie Robinson Day to social justice causes. So is it your belief that tomorrow that 17 baseball games will be played? Because that's how many are on the schedule.
You know, it's hard to say because there are still some teams, I think, that haven't sat out. We had seven today. We had, three or four yesterday. So there's definitely probably some teams that haven't sat out yet, and maybe they think they're just going to play through it. It's, you know, which way you look at it is tough to figure out what they're going to do because in some respects, like, okay, it's Jackie Robinson Day. You know, we had Joe Pizzapia on earlier on the TV show, and he said, I don't think they're going to screw up Jackie Robinson Day by sitting out. But then again, would there be a bigger statement than, you know, honoring this guy by not playing on his day with all this going on? I mean, you can look at it either way, that either them playing on his day helps to further their cause or that sitting back and not playing on his day is a bigger honor and bigger, you know, a push for the movement.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, what do I know? But I think that they've already made their point and tomorrow's a day to honor Jackie Robinson and it's not a day to not be there. In my opinion.
I mean, they're definitely the most likely of all of them to play because also, you know, we got to look at the fact that NHL and NBA, they're in this bubble and yeah, they have their schedule. They're trying to get out of there, but the MLB is the one that's really up against it with the schedule and every game that they sit out just makes more and more doubleheaders they have to play. You know, we were talking about the Yankee schedule earlier with Carvajal off the air and they got to play like six games in 3 days. So, you know, the more these guys sit out, they also are realizing the more they're going to have to play back-to-back games, you know, end up playing like seven games in 5 days.
Yeah. Cry me a river that they got to play doubleheaders every day, seven inning doubleheaders. I know guys that play softball longer than they play those games. I mean, honestly. What did you think of the NHL finally catching up with the parade and showing up for the parade and canceling their games? Because they played right through it the night it happened.
They did, but I don't completely blame them for playing yesterday because they were caught off guard like all of us. You know, the whole thing was the Bucks didn't – we heard that the Celtics were thinking about this and the Raptors were thinking about this for their game that would have been today, Thursday. There were no rumblings about the Bucks not playing. There were no rumblings about these other teams sitting. So when the Bucks did that, everybody in the sports world was like, wait a second, what? Like even the other NBA players were mad at them for not letting people know this was going to happen because then it could have come out unified and all just said, hey, we're going to sit out. I mean, you had the Thunder and the Rockets out there warming up on the court, not knowing that they were going to do this. They thought they were going to play. So I understand that the NHL, who already had games going before that sit out started, who had, you know, teams traveling to the arena to get ready to play, was kind of caught off guard and couldn't really then pivot and say, okay, we're not going to play. I think they did the right thing and the smart thing today, you know, playing catch up and saying, okay, we're not going to play, you know, these games today or tomorrow. We're going to sit out 2 days as well. I just thought they were caught off guard when it happened.
You all right, Mafia? What's happening there? Oh, Mafia's got the Honda. Mafia, let me check your temperature.
It's an emotional topic.
All right. So Dana White spoke at the RNC tonight, the Republican National Convention, from Vegas. There you go. He spoke out against efforts to defund police. Come on, America, defunding these vital positions is not the answer, White shouted. The first responders have always taken care of us. Now more than ever, we need to take care of them. Then he talked about the Hanta. Now let's talk about COVID, and let's be honest. No one person and no one place could have anticipated the challenges that COVID would bring. But President Trump has faced all these obstacles head on. He immediately put protective measures in place and reached out to the best and brightest leaders in American businesses of all industries to discuss what he and his administration could do to get the economy back up and running safely. He denied, let's just get off the record here for a second on White. Trump denied that it even existed. He denied that it was even real. He denies
definitions of immediately.
He denies everything. Global warming. He denies that people have COVID. He tells people that it's going away when the warm weather comes. Do you remember that one? And then he was stupid enough to say that people should put disinfectant in their bodies. Do you remember that one? And then he tried to backtrack out of that one. I never said that. He did say it. I mean, I've seen the clip 50,000 times. Dana White said the UFC was the first to come back. He praised him for bringing back professional sports. He said that Trump was the reason professional sports is back. The UFC was the first to do it, and we're continuing to do it. And now other sports have joined us. Some of the lessons learned are being used to help reopen other types of businesses and schools. Then all the pundits and fact checkers began dissecting everything that he said. Dana White just said that no one could have anticipated the COVID pandemic. And Joe Biden wrote, we are not prepared for a pandemic. Trump has rolled back progress that Obama and I made to strengthen global health security. We need leadership that builds public trust, focuses on real threats, and mobilizes the world to stop outbreaks before they reach our shores. And then it just goes on and on and on. Dana White's lies about Trump's coronavirus response are outrageous. Trump claimed at least 31 times the virus would just go away. Of course, this is laughably and false. President Trump may be the only president in modern times who has done everything he said he would do during his campaign that Dana White said that. And then people say it's laughable. It's unbelievable. I can't even. Can you imagine that he tags himself to that guy and gives him love? I can't even believe it. Like, I really can't. Like, he runs this gigantic multi-billion dollar MMA business. Why is he getting involved in politics? I just don't understand that at all. Because, you know, half of the people at least think he's a tool now because of what he's saying. You know, all these comments he's saying are just absolutely, you know, the other side is just going to pounce on this guy.
Well, he did this 4 years ago. This is the second time he did that.
I know it's the second time he's that. I'm just saying, who needs that in their life? Honestly, when he's got what he's got going on with the UFC is so gigantic. Why would you even, I mean, honestly, do you see Roger Goodell doing that or even Vince McMahon running that big wrestling business, WWE? Do you see him doing that? Do you see anyone doing it? Adam Silver, any of them? Gary Bettman doesn't do that. None of them. No one in sports. The NFL owners don't even get involved. They may like him, but they don't get involved in the politics. So Lute Olson has died at 85. Just the amazing Arizona basketball coach. He was at Iowa, and then many believe he made a huge mistake when he went to Arizona. Last laugh on them, because he won a national championship, and he went 589 wins in Tucson, winningest coach in school history. And he's unbelievable. Four Final Fours, 88, 94, 97, and 01. And, of course, they won it all in 97. He went to seven Elite Eights. They went to 23 straight tournaments. That's a record. And the coach and school record only recently broken by Mike Krzyzewski. Speaking of which, they had a protest today at Duke with Krzyzewski involved about the Blake shooting. Back to Olson, his 781 wins are 14th on the all-time list for men's Division I hoops. And there you go. The 97 title was certainly memorable. he had teams seeded number one, two, or three, but often they'd lose in the first or second round. But they were nothing special, but Miles Simon, Mike Bibby, Jason Terry helped Olsen Wildcats win it all. And then they knocked off Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky en route to winning it all. It also needed overtime to beat Providence in the Elite Eight. They beat Kentucky in overtime, doing it without making a field goal. And the only time that's ever happened in Final Four history. That win 23 years ago is the most recent national championship for a team in the Pac-12. Imagine that. He won 46 games in 28 NCAA tournaments. He's only one of 14 coaches to make two different schools get to the Final Four. He coached Arizona for the final 24 seasons of his career. He won 11 Pac-10 conference championships. And in his last 20 seasons, according to the school, he had the third best winning percentage of any coach in men's college basketball. That's just unbelievable. He was from Mayville, North Dakota. He lost his dad to a stroke when he was five. He won a state basketball title and then went on to stand out in football, basketball, and baseball at Augsburg College in Minneapolis in the mid-1950s. He coached at high school for 11 years in his 20s and 30s before moving on to junior college and eventually D1. He was on the bench for over 1,063 wins in his career as a head coach, dating back to his first gig with a high school in Minnesota in 56, and his time coaching junior college before working on a D1 staff at Long Beach State in 73. Arizona went after him in 83 after the 49-year-old had made Iowa a nationally relevant program. And they went to five straight NCAA tournaments, including the 1980 Final Four. Olsen coached eight consecutive All-Americans, or eight consensus All-Americans, and produced 34 NBA picks in 24 seasons at Arizona. There's one player in the NBA who was recruited and coached by Olsen, Iggy of the Heat. There you go. Olsen left his post in 2007 with health problems. He stepped down for good in 08. And he suffered a stroke. And then his health went downhill from there. So he survived by his wife, five children, three girls and two boys. 14 grandchildren. There you go. His coaching legacy continues thanks to his granddaughter, Julie Hargrove, who's an assistant with the Phoenix Mercury WNBA team, and his grandson, Matt Braves, who's an assistant with the Houston Rockets. Lute Olsen, gone at 85 tonight, the former Arizona coach. He was a great coach. I've been around him a few times. For sure. No doubt about it. Legend. Everyone's doing stuff. Like, everyone. Every team. You name it. Like, the Chargers had a scrimmage today. They canceled that. I mean, everybody's doing everything. Everybody's unhappy. Everybody's mad. Everybody's confused and miserable about it, what's going on in the world. Everywhere you turn. And then how does, can you explain to me what you think, Mafia, of Michael Jordan getting involved? He was like calling Chris Paul and all these guys and talking to them and being a bridge through this process. You're seeing everybody giving Michael Jordan credit for this?
Yeah, I was very surprised when I saw that because obviously I know that he, you know, is an owner. Obviously he's well-respected on both sides of this, you know, situation with the owners and the players. But for a guy who was never political his whole career, and honestly, what this year was the first time we ever heard him make a political statement when we had, you know, the first situation going on, and then all of a sudden he made a statement. That's the first time I think I've ever heard him be political. and take a stand against something. So to hear that now all of a sudden he was kind of the bridge between the players and the owners and helping the owners to understand and, you know, trying to keep this thing together was very strange to me.
So he talked to CP3 and Westbrook, and he also is on record saying, right now listening is better than talking. And so allegedly he was in favor of what they're saying is he was in favor of them going back and playing because he thinks that the platform is, you know, frankly, right now, bigger than ever. The bubble, you know, the fact that they didn't play for a couple of days, they postponed all the games, that they walked out and they went on strike, as Mitch Lawrence calls it. Protest, whatever you want to call it. They didn't play, right? So obviously they've made their statement and they certainly got everybody's attention. There's no one that doesn't know about it. It's worldwide news. It's everywhere. And the fact of the matter is, now that they've done it, Jordan and most of the owners, they all want them to go back to work. And I don't know if I believe all this stuff, to be honest with you. I guess I could see where, you know, Paul George said he was in a dark place, but that could be something much deeper. You don't know if it's something that's as simple as being homesick or away from people he loves or family or whoever, right? So you heard tonight Mitch Lawrence telling me that all these players are miserable in the bubble and that they want to go home and that they're unhappy. They want their families there. They've been away from their families and they're going psychotic, being trapped. And then you even heard some of them talking about it. I think we played a clip today on Coast to Coast with a guy talking about, I don't remember who it was. Mafia might remember, talking about how it was Siakam, I think, that they were trapped. Who was it?
You were right. It's Pascal Siakam.
Right. So he was the one saying that we're trapped here and we can't really, you know, be ourselves and talk and get into it and protest and things of this nature. But I actually believe that they have the best platform going. Which is they're on national television every single day and they do interviews. They can do as many interviews as they want before the game, halftime, after the game. They can do those socially distant interviews that they do with the long mic stick. And you'd see them talking to a player every night after the game. Well, what do they do in those interviews? They go on rants about social reform and, you know, injustices and brutality and bad cops and dirty cops and killing Breonna Taylor and everything else, right? So why not keep that platform cooking? You got the grill hot, keep it cooking, right? I mean, the charcoals are hot. Keep stuff on that grill. Let's keep cooking. You know what I mean? Like, what does breaking the bubble and going home and ending the season, what? They don't let reporters track them down to their homes with their families and their kids and do interviews with them. You might be lucky if you get one of them on a video Zoom interview. You could do that, but there's been a lot of that going on. But when they're in the bubble and they're playing, they can take their, frankly, protest to the next level. They get all eyes and ears. Everyone's talking about them. So when they walk out on the floor to play a game now, they can go right at it and just start talking about what they're mad about. And the fact of the matter is they've been doing that. When the games are over and they have post-game press conferences, what do you think they do? These players all sit around and they all start ranting about whether it's Taylor, whether it's Blake, whether it's Floyd, the kid in Georgia that got killed, but, you know, they talk about whatever they want. And it's all about social injustice and reform and brutality by cops and profiling and shooting and killing and shooting and maiming. That's all they do. They talk about that. So they have the platform. You know, I would think it behooves them to keep going on it. You know, they already got it. They've already got this huge audience. You know, I've heard the president say they got no ratings. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. He just lies through his teeth about everything. What does he know about the NBA's ratings? He doesn't watch the NBA. He's a phony. The NBA, don't even tell me people aren't watching the NBA playoffs. What's the difference between the NBA playoffs having fans or no fans? I could care less. I watch the games, man. I don't care about all those fans. Fans go crazy. That's great. Congratulations. Drink beer. But in the end of the day, I care about my bet and I care about the baskets and buckets going through and taking good looks and making stops. That's it. All I care about is the game. You think I sit and watch all these crowd shots and all these people waving at cameras and acting like idiots in front of television cameras? People just can't get enough of themselves. Is there anything worse than the guy that stands behind the play-by-play and the color guy on TV and waves at the camera, standing right behind the announcer and waves so their friends can see him on TV? Is there anything worse than that guy? There's nothing worse than that guy. There is nothing worse than being that guy. There is nothing worse. You are a male organ. You are the male organ of the month club. You lose. You're a tool. There's nothing worse. Like, you know, is there anything better than the guy that knows he's on camera that just completely chills and ignores it? They just don't care that they're on camera. They know they're on camera and they just don't care. I think that's the coolest guy in the room. Like, that's like Arthur Fonzarelli type stuff. You know what I mean? Like being that cool. It's like, you know what I mean? Can you think of anyone else, Mafia, that's that cool? Like Fonzie? Is there someone, Steve McQueen, maybe? Clint Eastwood? All right, so...
Burt Reynolds back in the day?
Who?
Burt back in the day?
Yeah, Burt rocking it. That's for sure. Frank Sinatra? He had it going on. We'll talk to Morenci, hopefully, next. Sports Rage is coming up after me. All right, Sports Rage is up next. We always like to hook up with Morenci before I get out of here and he goes on. Do you think they'll play all those 17 baseball games tomorrow, Morenci, or do you think there's going to be more of the same?
You know what? I was listening to you and Mafia, and it was a great great discussion. It's an interesting, interesting dilemma, isn't it, in which Jackie Robinson was known for playing through adversity, playing right through the most of difficult of circumstances. So you almost have to play. But at the same point in time, you almost have to think, what would Jackie do? Right. And I think you have to put yourself in Jackie's position. And I think Jackie would play. And I think symbolically, they almost have to play on Jackie Robinson Day. I really, and you know, it's just sad, isn't it, that this day still has this much meaning right now, that it's 2020, and like it's like, oh, and it's Jackie Robinson Day. It's actually pretty pathetic where society is at now, Scotty.
Do people in Canada, like in Vancouver, like how do you guys roll with the flu shots up there? Do people all get crazy about flu shots in Canada like they do here?
Yeah, there's nut jobs, you know, the there's nut jobs everywhere. There's been a trickle. There's a trickle down effect, Scotty, right? Like, so there's the same sort of nut jobdom. It's just not as big. It's just not as big. We'll put it that way.
So I got a flu shot today. My wife said to me, 34C, she said, go get a flu shot. I said, what you talking about getting a flu shot? It's August 27th. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. She's like, I got this letter. They're running out of flu shots. You got to go do it now. And so I went and got it. So I was like, what are you bothering me? I don't want to go get a flu shot. She said, get a flu shot or I'm not going to sleep with you. So I got the flu shot. So now I'm going to try to go get some leg.
She laid down the
law. She laid down the law. Now I'm going to lay down some leg. Have a good show, Morenci. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.